It is Friday, the 10th of April, Friday the 10th of April. A very good morning to you, and welcome to your favorite radio station. So, welcome, and thank you, David, for transferring, for handing over the mic to this side of the world. So, we're coming to you live from the Ondangwe studio, and my name is Mike Oshoveli. This is Unpacking the Day. So good morning to you and welcome. This is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, in economics, in politics, so, and everything in between. So every weekday we cut through the noise to make sense of the big, you know, the big stories, trends and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear, sometimes a little bit witty, and also very, very, very curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. So we're here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of this big, bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the story. So a very good morning to you and welcome. So how is Friday? How is Friday morning for you? Yeah, some people said winter is getting cold. So maybe winter is start already to creep in some part of the country. So hopefully, yeah, we still could have good weather this morning, but we still experience, come to 9, 10 o'clock, 11, you know, it's going to still be hot. Hot. Okay. So, yeah, it's going to be hot. All right. So welcome, thanks for joining us this morning. As we always said, we love it here, when you're joining us. And welcome. So, as usual, we normally start with, on this day, with our segment on this day in Africa. And today, we can't really find a very significant day, on this day in the history of our continent. But anyway, all right. Today we haven't got anything really, from our history on the continent. So, yeah, let's maybe start with our thought of the day. What is our thought for the day? So, yeah, today's thought is very simple, okay? And as you know, words can build and also words can really break. So when people say the pen is mightier than the sword, they mean that ideas, writings and speaking can change life, you know, more deeply than violence can ever, you know. So a sharp tongue can hurt, but the right word can heal, teach and open doors. So today, let us use our word wisely, because good message can go further than force ever will. So in whatever you do and whatever decision you make, yeah, let's use our word wisely. So because the message can go further than force ever will. So that's our thought for the day, this Friday morning, the 10th of April. So welcome. This is Unpacking the Day. Now, what do we have? What do we have for you this morning? What do we have for you? What are we going to discuss this morning? Yeah. While Well, Namibia really continues to seek new global markets. Our trade picture actually remains a familiar one. So we are deeply rooted, a deeply rooted dependence on South Africa's market, and also the reliance on the extraction of raw materials. So that's the story. That's the story making the front page of the Villager this morning. So we're going to follow that, and we are going to unpack it. So, and if we still have time, we're also going to look at the Namibia's economy decelerated in 2025. So with the central bank actually citing that it's a combination of global trade tensions, things that are going on, like in the Middle East and other tensions. Yeah. But also because of domestic sectoral weaknesses, those are the primary driver of the slowdown of our economy. So we're going to look at that if we still have a time. So make sure that you're part of that. So, and your participation, of course, will also be part of the show. Friday, very slow most of the time, but you're most welcome. I know when you're listening, that's all that matter. So good morning, everyone. Good morning, my dear listener, and thanks for joining me. So when we come back, we get into our first item on the show. Stay tuned.
Omutiha with the Kirokabuna I Matina Omjo. Chikao Shafasa Nana Longishifa Yai Shuike Moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongoti samweni. Anagashifa Yanamibia Ombitombwa nawa orongika. Seisa nina omayaguro nirandisoma ye yongeshifa yoyo kupitira mo Ikelefe Media House. Ngwe 20 nemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashifareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora hetatu imu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oni aji. Ikelefe Media House.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
So welcome back. I hope you have a beautiful morning, a beautiful Friday mornings. So welcome back to Unpacking the Day. You are tuning in Unpacking the Day here on Eagle FM, and I'm your host, Michael Chauvelli, coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. I will be with you until the hour of 10 o'clock, when I will be handing over to Tate France, coming with Kuthamosha around 10 o'clock. So make sure that you tune in for that show as well. So this Friday morning, we are talking about Namibia's trade, who we buy from, who we sell to, and why that picture. Now, why that picture seems stuck? It seems like that picture is stuck like a passport photo from 10 years ago. Same face, same expression, same story, you know? So the Namibian Statistic Agency just released a trade figures for February 2026. And those numbers tell a story many of us already know anyway, but maybe have never actually stopped. We just never stop to really think about it. Okay? So South Africa is still our biggest trading partner by very, very, very wide margin. No, we buy most of our consume from them. We sell a huge chunk of what we produce to them. You know, and when you look at what we actually export to the rest of the world, it is mostly raw material or raw minerals. You know, uranium, gold, diamonds. You know, things we pull out of our ground, and ship, you know, ship off as they are, without really no processing, no adding value, just dig and load and send, you know. So now, and you might be thinking, really, you might be sitting there or while driving or whatever you're doing and asking, so what, you know, we have always traded with South Africa, so what is the big deal? Okay. Let me give you a bit of a story, okay? Let me give you a bit of a history so that so this makes sense a little bit. So Namibia has been independent for over 36 years. And we have been independent for over 36 years now. And in that time, government after government has talked, we have talked about economic diversification. Okay, this is what at the center of the story that we're looking at, you know. So we have been talking about economic diversification. So we have heard Vision 2030. We have heard Harambe Prosperity Plans, number one and number two. We have NDPs, and we now have the national trade policies running through the 2020, you know, the 2030. So we signed, so many, you know, trade agreements. And we signed trade agreements. Those now trade agreements, it meant to open new doors. We sent trade missions to Europe. We sent trade mission to Europe, to Asia, to Middle East, to other African countries, you know, shaking hands and cutting ribbons, you know, and telling us that Namibia is diversifying its economy. That we also open new market. That will open new market. That we are breaking free from the independence of South Africa. So we have been doing that. And yet, the number tells us nothing has fundamentally changed or shifted. Underline the word fundamentally. Nothing has fundamentally shifted or changed. So this morning, we're looking at that story. We're going to walk through those numbers and understand what they mean for you and for me. We, the ordinary Namibian, I'm for us, you and me. So it's always, I'm here for us, the ordinary Namibians. So we're going to ask some questions that somebody in authority need to answer. It's a story in our today's edition of The Villager by Nino Minwabali Hangala. So, yeah, good morning and welcome. Let's get into it. Let's start with the numbers. Do you know how many times I tell you this? Because numbers don't tell lies. Numbers don't lie. I keep telling you always that numbers don't lie. Oh, they might be boring. Yes, of course, the numbers are boring. But they tell the truth. They always, always tell the truth. Now, in February 2026, Namibia spent 4.3 billion buying good from South Africa. 4.3 billion buying good from South Africa. That is mostly your consumables. This is your food, your cleaning product, your packaging, machinery, vehicles, you know, the things we use every single day. Okay? That's your consumables. we spend about 4.3 billion Namibian dollars. On our side, at the same time, we export good worth of 2.5 billion back to South Africa. Now, so right there, okay, as you can see right there, we are running a deficit of 1.8 billion in just 1 month. We're talking about February here, yeah, February 2026. In just 1 month, we're already running a deficit of 1.8 billion. In 1 month, with one country, you know, 1.8 billion, a deficit already. We're running a deficit there. So now you go back a month, January 2026, we export 2.6 billion to South Africa and we imported 3.5 billion. Running a deficit as well there. December 2025, export 2.7 billion, import 4.3 billion. You see the pattern? You know, every single month, we are buying more from South Africa than we are selling. So we are buying more from South Africa than what we are selling. So we are, so how do you, what do they say? What is the word? We are net consumer. Yeah, we are net consumer of South African goods. And this is not new. It is not new. This has been the story for many years, for decades. Eh? Net consumer of South African good. Now, let me put this maybe in the language we all can understand. Now, if you earn 2,000 Namibian dollar a month, let's just say you earn 2,000 Namibian dollar a month, but you spend 4,300 on buying things from your neighbor's shop. You have your neighbor's shop around you, so your salary is about your earning is about 2,000 Namibian dollars, but you spend 4,300 on buying things from your neighbor's shop. So how long do you think you can keep that up? You are running a deficit every single month. You know, you're running a deficit every single month and you're pouring money out faster than it actually comes. The money that you're pouring out, it's more than the money actually actually faster because it's every month. Eh? So that's a trade deficit. And Namibia has been running one for a very long, long, long time. And here's the thing that really gets me. So when we talk about our export, okay, beyond South Africa now, the picture is not much better. Eh? The picture is actually not much better. Namibia top five export have remained basically the same for years. For years. Eh? So it has been, you know, has remained basically the same for years. And which are they? You know, you have non-monetary gold, uranium, you know, diamond, petroleum oils, and ores and concentrated of base metal. Has been always those. And out of all five, only fish is not a mineral. Only fish. And everything else comes from under the ground. We are essentially still a country that make it, you know, that we make our money by digging things, up and shipping them out. And when we're shipping them out, raw. China buys our uranium. Zambia buys our fish. Specifically, Masbanger. Zambia actually buy our Masbanger. you know, Botswana was buying our diamond through the through the BS arrangement, you know, though the diamond prices crash has now changed the picture recently. So yeah, these are the only countries that even you know come close to challenging South Africa in terms of our trade value. And notice something important, you know. Each of these countries buy basically one or two things from us. They are not buying a diverse basket of Namibian product. This country pop up. They only pop up on the list because of one or two higher value commodities. Not because we have some kind of like a deeper, diverse trading relationship with them. It's just because of that one higher value commodities that they pop up on the list. So that's the issue that we're talking about. That's the issue that we're talking about, that there is no country actually challenging South Africa in terms of trade value. None. So the other thing is that now, some of you might be thinking, all right? You might be thinking, well, South Africa is our neighbor. It makes sense that we trade heavily with them. So, and you're not wrong, okay? You're not wrong at all. You're not wrong. Geography matters. You know, infrastructure matters as well. And, you know, we have that highway, the N1, you know, that connect us directly. That matters as well. Eh? That matters as well, honestly. You know, when you think of Zambia, why don't we do more training with Zambia or with Botswana, you know? Yeah, infrastructure matters. Very important. Infrastructure matters. And we have the N1, the N1 highways that connects us directly to South Africa, you know? So the other thing is our currency. The Namibian dollar. The Namibian dollar is pegged 1-to-1 to the South African rand. And we are literally locked into the same monetary rhythm with South Africa. So that matter too. But let me tell you what else ties us, which is very important. It's called SACU. The Southern African Custom Union. You know, Namibia, South Africa, Botswana, Lesotho, which other country? Eswatini. We share a common custom area with a common external tariff. So, and here's the problem. 40%, maybe it's not a problem. Could be a problem. Looking at this, 40% of Namibian public budget, 40% of Namibia's public budget come from SACU. It comes from SACU revenue. 40%. That's nearly half of the money government uses actually to pay your teachers, nurses, police officers, you know, and to build roads. 40%. Now, so think about this now. So we are not just trading with South Africa. We are financially depend on South Africa. So our budget breathes through SACU. Our currency breathes through the rand. You know, our shelves are stocked with South African product. There's a common phrase, that if South Africa catches a cold, you know, Namibia get pneumonia, you know. So when you think about that, and I just highlight all that just for you to give you that broader picture of where we are. Is that the kind of sovereignty? Now, when we were fighting for independence, you know, is that the kind of sovereignty we envision at independence? When we were now at 1990, when we now getting our independence, is that the kind of sovereignty where you have envisioned? Think of the things that I have highlighted that we are mostly dependent on South Africa. Is that the sovereignty we have envisioned at our independence? Just think where we are. So make sure that you follow the story. You read the story in today's into the villagers. And make sure that you subscribe to the villager. It's free. You don't pay anything. And you get all this amazing story on business and economics updated, you know, really update news on that. So make sure that you subscribe. And what you do, you just send a WhatsApp message to this number. Say, subscribe. So you sent this to 081-241-44. 081-241-44. So you just sent your name and your email. So and voila, you will be receiving the village's digital copy every Monday, Wednesday and Friday. So make sure that next Monday you get your copy. Subscribe now. All right. So yeah, follow the story there. Read it for yourself. We're just unpacking it and looking at other aspects as well. All right. Now, so we say the government has been talking a big game. You know, the government has been talking a big game about the African continental free trade area. You know, this is supposed to be a game changer. The African continental free trade area, it's supposed to be a big change. And we're talking in terms of diversification. So follow the story. So why we bring in this, the deal that open up, you know, so this was like a deal that will open up a market of, and a market of 1.3 billion Africans. Can you imagine that? So Namibia signed it. We have signed it. We ratified it. We gazetted the tariff. And we ticked all the boxes, okay, when it comes to African continental free trade area. So, and what has happened? You know, what has happened? According to this theory, according to the article we are unpacking this morning, only two products have been exported under the African, you know, continental free trade areas. So far, that's only two products only. Two out of thousands of products Namibia could potentially actually sell across the continent. Only two. Only two that have been actually exported. Or maybe that's one thing that we also need to be honest with ourselves. Okay, which I think we are in terms of do we have product that we can export? And when we open up these doors, okay, when we go around the world and tell, hey, you know, so now when we allow other people to bring their stuff, do we have product that we can sell? Do we? So that's the answer. That's the question that you need to answer. All right?
Great news. Import just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
All right, welcome back. Our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 8. And if you're tuning in, this is Unpacking the Day. This is Unpacking the Day. So welcome. So now, We're talking about, we're talking about diversifications, something that we have been, talking about government after government. And according to the story that we're reading this morning, according to the story, this, according to the study that we're reading this morning from the Villager, it looks like the picture hasn't changed much. The picture has not changed much. But now, to be fair, to be fair to intra-Africa trade, the intra-Africa trade did reach, $11 billion in December 2025. So $11 billion in December 2025. That's actually significant. That's significant. And Namibia main African export destination are South Africa, Botswana, Zambia, the DRC, and Mozambique. So, but here is the problem. The problem is that most of that trade is still happening through existing channel like SACU, it's still existing channel and an old relationship, not because of the Africa Continental Free Trade Area open new doors. It's not because it opened new doors. It's still, when we talk about 11 billion the trade that took place in December is still under some existing channels and old relationship, not necessarily through the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, because that it has opened up new doors. Not exactly. So the Director of International Trade at the Ministry acknowledged that business are struggling with the practical side of things when it comes to Africa trade, area. So they are actually struggling with the practical side of things, rules of origin, product classification, customer procedures, certification, documentations. So those are some of the challenges that actually hinders the progress or smooth, progress of Africa continental free trade areas. So, and then, because when we're talking about in terms of those kind of things, product classification, custom procedures, and also infrastructure, as we were talking earlier, that it is easier to do, to trade with South Africa because of the kind of same infrastructure. And you can think of, we're talking about currency, we're talking about, some other infrastructure, banking, and all that, companies that are in South Africa, the one in here, and all that, okay? But in the way that I'm saying that, now, Namibia, think of Namibia Chamber of Commerce also has been saying the same thing, okay? It's not enough. So when it comes now to Africa, a continental free trade area, so the Chamber of Commerce have also saying that it's not enough, to sign an agreement in Addis Ababa. You need the small business owner in Oshakati or the farmer in Zambezi, in the Zambezi region, to understand how to actually use it, So what we do is that what the Chamber of Commerce is saying, that we do and go and sign this agreement, but the people who now supposed to use this, these facilities or these opportunities have no idea about it. They don't know how to go about it. So you understand? So that's what the Chamber of Commerce is saying, that these are the issues. Yeah? So now, is in that case, one can ask, is the Africa Continental Free Trade Area a real an opportunity for Namibia? It is a real opportunity. But is it just another document, As we always said, that, gathering dust in the government, filing cabinet somewhere. Because the people who now, the owner, the business, a small business owners in Oshakati or a farmer in somewhere or Shikoto, you know, it doesn't understand how actually to use it. So then what is the point? So what is the point? So, but it's very important to understand why maybe you, why should you listening to me now? So we talk about these trade statistics. Why should you care about this trade statistic? Okay? Why should you care about this? I think this is very important. That's why I said, you know, I'm your activist, kind of like your activist. I'm with you because we are in the same boat. So we're looking at from that perspective. So, yeah. Anyway, let me break it down. Let me break it down. So my question is, because when I'm looking at, when I'm reading the story, you know, the article, I'm also asking, okay, why should I care about this trade statistic? Why should I care about that? Now, the reason, the first thing is that it's because of jobs. Sometimes it's because of the jobs. Namibia's unemployed rate, you know, as you know, stand at roughly 37%. And among the youth people, among the young people, it is far, it's even far worse. We're talking about over 50%, you know, in some measurements. So when we export raw minerals, so just think of this now, when we export raw minerals, we create a very few jobs. So now, something that's one thing that you can already identify. You don't have to be an economist to understand that. That if we actually export raw materials, we create a very few jobs. And that's definitely come to effect. We see that in our country. So why do we have higher unemployment? It's because the other thing is also understanding, and it's something that we talk about. Yeah. Mining is capital intensive. Not labor intensive. So big machine, small workforce, you know, but if we were processing those minerals here, cut and polish our diamond locally, refine our uranium, turn our fish into a finished product in Namibia factory, instead of freezing it whole and shipping it out, that is where the job come in. That is where the factories get actually, you know, get built. That's where young people get hired. Yeah? So what kind of factories that we should have? It's this way they should be built. So we know exactly where the jobs are. And if we continue to do that, so we can as much as cry and, you know, if long as we export raw minerals, we create very few jobs. That's, you know, as I said, we don't need to bring in Dr. John Stadler here, you know, to explain that. Yeah? So, or Dr. Kaguya, you know, we don't need to. It's a simple thing that you can, you know, you can understand already. So now the second thing is also, because I'm asking, the question I'm asking, why do you care about this trade statistic? Why should you care? You know, the other thing is prices. Now, when we import 68% of what we consume from South Africa, we are at the mercy of their prices. We are at the mercy of their inflation. We are at the mercy of their exchange rate. You know, when the rand weakens, our prices goes up. When there are load shedding problems in South Africa, our supply chains suffer. When their fuel prices increase, our transport cost increases. So what we are seriously with this, what story this is saying, the story, what this story is telling us, that we are basically borrowing South Africa's economic problems and making them our own. in the way how we depend on South Africa. 68% of what we consume from South Africa. We are basically borrowing South Africans' economic problems and making them our own. If we produce more, of what we consume right here at home, we would have more control over the prices, more stability, more resilience. And the so the other third thing, and think about that, you know, some of the problems are our own making. And they are simple. You don't need the diagnosis is very clear. The diagnosis is very clear. We kind of like people who, you know, we have become now comfortable with what someone is doing for us. We don't want to do much. We have things done for us. They are there. So why would, you know? But then it put us on a disadvantage, economic disadvantage. You know, the other thing is Vision 2030, our national development blueprint. We set ambitions, you know, we set ambitious target. By 2030, manufacturing and service should make up 80% of our GDP. Manufacturing and service. That's what is in our Vision 2030. Should make up 80% of our GDP. We are now in 2026. We are in 2026, my friend. 4 years to go. Do you see 80%? Do you see 80% manufacturing and services in our economy today? Do you? 80% manufacturing and service in our economy today. Do you? Well, I'm not an economist. Maybe you see that better than I do. So do you see that? But even now, me, the simplest person, and you, we can't be able to see that. So the African Development Bank tells us primary industries, mining, agriculture, still contribute roughly 16 to 20% of our GDP. Our GDP growth actually slowed to 1.7% in 2025. That's what the president was talking about as well. Partly because the mining sector contracted, you know, declined. So when your entire economic house is built on minerals and mineral price fall, if the mineral price fall, like we're talking about diamond declined, you know, now the whole house, you know, shakes. The whole house shakes. Now, let me give you a comparison, okay? So maybe I understand things for myself better. Now, imagine a farmer who only grows one crop. So now we're talking about, remember I'm referring to what I'm talking about, that, you know, we focus, our economic house is built on minerals, okay? We're talking about diversification. The story here talk about diversification. Now, imagine a farmer who only grows one crop. Okay, let us say maize. Now, no vegetables, no fruit, no livestock. Okay, just maize. Now, if the rain are good, okay, if the rains are good and the prices of maize is higher, that farm does well, isn't it? Now, but if there is drought, if the prices of maize, for example, of maize collapse, that farm is screwed. That farm has nothing to fall back on. That is Namibia. We are that one crop farmer, except our crop is minerals. You know, our crop is minerals. And the mineral price are not in our control. That's one thing. The mineral prices are not in our control. They are decided somewhere. They are decided in some, you know, some in boardroom somewhere in London, in Beijing, in New York. So we are price takers. We only take prices that comes. We don't make prize. Not prize makers. We are prize takers. That's what we are. So we are that one farmer, that farmer that has have nothing to fall back. And this is the whole question of, you know, diversification. Something that we, you know, had to come keshe fiku. Ungula nufiku had to come diversification. And not diversification, mashua mboshige na uli. You know? So, yeah. Now, here's where I want to challenge you. Okay, my dear listeners. And also the people in power who might be tuning in this morning. So this is where I want to challenge us. Because the real issue here is not just that the trade picture has not changed. The real issue is why it has not changed. Okay? Why it has not changed and what are we actually doing about it? Yeah. So I'm going to ask you some questions, okay? And I want you to think about them honestly, okay? Not from emotions. Just want to think about them from honestly. Now, we have signed about, you know, we have signed quite a number of trade agreements. And we have joined the Africa Continental Free Trade Area. We have gazetted our tariffs. We have flown, you know, we have flown our ministers around the world on trade missions. Now, how much has all of this actually cost the Namibian taxpayers? And what, now this is my question. Now, how much that have cost Namibian taxpayers? How much that has cost us? And what measurable return have we gotten on that investment? Eh? Even think of talk even of our ambassadors, you know, how many of them we have around the world, eh? And what measurable? How much are we paying for those? What measurable return have we got on that investment? Especially trade missions, spent a lot of money, eh? Can you tell us what are the measurable return we have got in some places, in some countries, some has done well, you know. Now, if the answer is, if the two product, yeah? So think of Africa. If the answer now, you know, because if the answer is two product under Africa, you know, continental free trade area, and no change in our trade patterns, then we need to ask whether this money could have been actually better spent somewhere else. You know, if that only those two product that we actually sell under Africa trade area, then I think we can have to reevaluate that that's money that we spent. And we only get to sell about two product. I think that money could have been better spent elsewhere, perhaps on supporting local manufacture, eh? Because that create jobs, perhaps on building processing plants, because that will build job, that would create jobs, perhaps on training young people, young Namibians, in skills, eh? Our economy actually needs. So the question is the problem the agreement, or is it that we have actually nothing to sell? Do you understand? We may also have nothing to sell. You can open 100 doors, but if your basket is empty, what are you walking through those doors with? We are opening up all these doors. But, and we, so we can see that other countries, China's or whatever, they come and invest here. But are we investing, those who are investing here,
probably we can only get a few jobs, few of our people actually get employed. But what do they get out of it, those who are investing here? Are we investing in other countries? Do we have something to sell? Do we have something new to sell? We have been selling the same five things that I talked about, product that we, minerals and one, and fish, that's all. Diversification. Government after government. Talk about that. But statistic, this is what statistics say. Things stays the same. The picture stays the same. And that's coming from this statistician, the chief statistician. Things stays the same. So do we have anything to sell? Eh? Maybe we must stop, you know, opening up doors, because what, as I said, what are we walking through those doors with? Do we have anything that we are selling? Now, the other question is, the NSA has been releasing this same trade statistic for years. That's what they're saying. They have been releasing the same. The head of the statistics agency himself has confirmed this unchanging picture. So, who is in the government? Who is in the government is reading these numbers? Who is reading these numbers? Who is looking at the data and saying, this is not working? This is not working. We need a different approach. Who? Who is doing that? Or are this report just being, you know, filed away in some office, you know, some office in Windhoek, as I said, and gather some dust? Now, who is reading these numbers? Looking at them and be able to say, guys, this is not working. Because it's definitely not good. As I said, the statistic agency himself, you know, the head of statistic agency, Mr. Shimafeni, is it Shimafeni? Alex Shimafeni? You know, is saying the picture has been the same. It's unchanged. So that means there's someone who is actually not reading these numbers and start and say, look, we need to do something different. We need to have a different approach. So, now, my question three. We talk about value addition, okay? We talk about a value addition, and this is the United Nations trade body, the UNCT, CTAD. Now, recently identified, and this is Namibia, recently identified a 353 product across 23 sectors where Namibia could realistically diversify its economy. 60 of those products are directly linked to energy transitions. Green hydrogen, solar component, battery minerals, So from right there, that is a roadmap handed to us on a silver platter. It's a roadmap handed to us on a silver platter. So the question is, who is following up that roadmap? Who is following up that roadmap? What concrete steps have been taken since the report was launched? Come on, Namibians. So those are some, you know, I'm just broadening your mind in terms of the issues. And the other thing also, Namibia is part of the Southern African Customs Union, SACU. That means we share a common external tariff with South Africa, Botswana, Lesotho, and Eswatini. Now, and I want you to think this very, very, very closely, you know, maybe something that I can talk to somebody about. Now, while SACU give us access to South Africa market, it also make it very easy to just keep importing from them because there are no tariffs. Do you understand that? Are our trade policies within SACU actually working against our diversification goals? That's because I'm starting to see that our actually own policy, our trade policy within SACU, actually working against us, against our diversification goal. Because we seem to be trapped. Are we trapped in a system that was designed to serve South Africa's industrial interests, actually, not ours? It was actually designed to serve South Africa's industrial interest, not ours, not for country like Botswana, Lesotho, and Eswatini, and Namibia. It was more, when you look at it, it's more like, you know, designed really to serve South Africa's industrial interest. And remember when this was designed, it's about how many? 100 years ago. It's some 100 years ago. Yeah, and my final question is, if nothing changes, we talk the picture, read the story, if nothing changes, where will Namibia be in 10 years, really? If nothing changes, just think about that. If nothing changes, it has been years. And the statistician tells you, it's the picture remained the same. So our mineral eventually will run out. Some of those will run out. And the world will move away from them as the green energy transition accelerate. Of course, by then, you can imagine that, you know, the green energy transition would accelerate. So, diamond is already shifting. As we can see, diamond is already shifting because of the lab-grown alternatives. Okay. If we are still exploring raw minerals and importing everything else, when that happens, what happened to our economy? What happened to our children's future? So something got to change. Something got to change. And we're going to look at that when we come back from this. So you must also welcome. You are welcome to come through as well. So our telephone number, 08333-66091. 08333-66091. What need to change? What got to change? So come through. Tell us what need to change. 08333-66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Welcome back. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm okay, that's my.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll see them.
Yeah. But tell me back first. I'm better on Twitter.
Why is it now? Wait, I'm here. I don't have a problem. Okay, anyway, we are here.
Yeah.
You see, that makes the problem I see with you. We, as a Namibian, we still continue with apartheid, apartheid policy.
Yeah.
Yeah, which really contrasting what we are, is happening in Namibia now.
Mm.
Because look, Yanni, that the mic, the system itself is just wrong. Remember, other country, what did they, if a person is having a master's,
yeah,
even the bank, they will start calling you. Because you can come up with an idea, you can start a business.
Yeah.
But in Namibia, our master and the PhD degrees, they are fighting to be politician.
Yeah.
You see? It's wrong. The system, you can see that the system is wrong. Because now I see some people are mocking the meme of a great Ken. I'm wondering, what is the requirement for a politician?
Mm.
In the world. If you see how many number degrees he has. Or you go to the British. I'm talking to people who studied democracy.
Yeah.
Yeah. How many Tony Blair PhD degree he have? Hmm? The politician is supporting the person who will come through the land.
Yeah.
Not allow somebody to be mocking the member come really have a great ten. Who says so? What is the requirement for the politician? A person to be a politician? It's a problem. You can see the system is already wrong there. Because now, you see the lawyers and the others, they are fighting to be politician. In Namibia. Really, really wrong. The system itself, you can see, is a mess up.
Yeah, sometimes it's much of the system we're using is actually the system that we inherited.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Everything. Up to now, we're still prosecuting people with a law, which is, in 1960-something. Up to now, if you got special with a traffic fine and you see even the criminal act, some of them, they are prosecuting people with what? The 1967 law. It's wrong.
Mm.
And we are here complaining now, I had an employment, but we are not really doing anything because we let the people who are supposed to be forefront of the economy to join the political parties.
Yeah.
Which is wrong. Instead of them, to empower them so they can employ other people, so they can come up with an idea to move the country forward. This is what is not happening. I'm telling you, Mike, now, if you look what is happening in between us and South Africa, it's a toxic relationship we have. It's kind of even not abusing boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than that. It's even more than that. Maybe it's a what kind of, how can I put it? Somebody is a kind of like a boyfriend who say every time you have to, even in the morning you have to stand up to be what? To be beaten up. Follow what? Cold water. It's like that. Because the way I'm looking at our relationship is that we are too much in South Africa. You know why people are not even engaging in agriculture? It's because everything is provided by South Africa. It's there.
Yeah.
And that it will become like, you know, what for me to go and fight for myself, to go and have it, run around to have a chicken farm, will I know? People are going to buy from me only mics when it's having what? His kids are going to confirmation or baptism. All is having a wedding.
Mm.
Okay, what is really keeping me to have a lot of cattle when I know it's only for funeral or wedding? Hmm? So the market is not even the system itself. It's messed up big time.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Really, our government, they need to come to the ground. And that's what I'm saying sometimes, Anne. In that part, when you're talking about Tombo, even if you to people in the room, they have more important conversation when what is going on in the parliament.
Yeah.
Because in the parliament, we want to copy what Dubai is doing. But in the reality, we are too far. There's a gap maybe for 60 years between us and Dubai.
Mm.
To leave that stage. Because Dubai, they are talking about technology and they are talking about other things which need to drive them faster, the economy. But here we are complaining about even housing, we are complaining about water. Those people, they deal with this thing from 1940-something.
Yeah.
And so, we are in the same table.
The issue here, and what the story is actually talking about, is that, you know, when we talk about diversification, and we seem to see that, so when we talk about diversification, it's the only way that we'll be able actually to create jobs. But we have only talking about it, and there's nothing actually have been done about it. You understand?
So what I'm telling you, we are learning the country in a few methods. In the practical view, there's nothing we have done much since independence. There's nothing. I'm telling you, Mike, if now we are talking about the country, it's supposed to rely on itself. Why we still have to import the uniform of school even? We have lamentations with it. We land down there with, okay, maybe those people who are, okay, who come in Malaysia, whatever, they come and establish the lamentations. Okay, they take it there. What about us to invest in that lamentations? People who are working for lamentations, that they are still here. Some they are still, and they are still having their experience.
Yeah.
What do we have easy we've done? Nothing at all. But here, every day, me and you, we need the what? Trouser. We need the t-shirt to wear.
Yeah, we need shoes. We need, you know.
We need shoes. Hey, all those things are coming from South Africa. South Africa is not only feeding us with the food, they are also dressing us.
Everything.
And on top of that, even they are giving us electricity again.
Everything.
You see? Everything is from South Africa. And why you don't want to be part of South Africa? Even the money. Even the money with it, because the money, the money is attached to South African rent.
Yeah.
If it, you take it out, my friend, even the quantity of Angola will be better. Because we don't produce anything.
Mm.
That's why we're even asking that, what are we selling when we are signing those agreements?
Yeah.
Hey, what else? Apart from raw materials and the fish, maybe.
Yeah.
Hmm? For money. What you can sell? We don't produce anything, my friend. I'm telling you. And the people, when you are looking at Angola, looking to Namibia, they think, you know, Angola is very poor. Angola, they are making even the nails.
Yeah.
Angola, they are producing a lot of things.
Yeah.
Juice, they are making their own juice there. Okumo mangwe tuwa ambu telekoni ma, wako zambezi. Kena kufaka kuna factory na kuna shuke. Come on, guys. We are too worse.
And the thing is that is what would create employment.
Exactly.
That's what would create employment.
It is. That's why I make it's really pointless for us to still sending the kid to school. They finish, then we dump them in the street.
Yeah.
You invest in that person from grade 1, I mean, pre-primary to grade 12, then after tertiary, you dump that person.
Yeah.
After you obtain his knowledge.
And that's the image that we're also creating. Many young people now, when they see, what's the point? It doesn't encourage
for me to,
they're thinking, what is the point? My colleagues that have finished already.
If he's having a master's degree, but he's still in the street.
Or he's
driving a taxi.
Yeah.
Or he's working at ShopRite. Yeah. Stacking the, come on, man. No, man. No. The system is wrong. So what I'm saying, we try as a SME. That is a learning lesson. We can try it again.
Yeah, we learn from our mistakes, and then let's do better.
Yeah.
We want to bring the airline. Why can't we bring the SME bank?
SME bank, exactly. Hey, what is wrong with that?
Yeah. Instead of bringing the Namibia
airline, with you know that you, airline when we bring it, how many people are going to fly? How many of them? If they are not even making it cheaper, they make it so expensive. Let's imagine one load to reform it, window to Ondangwa. It's the same when you are paying to Cape Town. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It's better to start things which are contributing to the economy of the country. Maybe you think about even the railway, faster railway.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people are going to use it. Okay. Even myself, even with my Kaskolokolo here, in December, I will put my car in the container, I will jump in, at Ondangwa, I will take my car, drive to Oshkango.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about the oil here. You know, when we start producing, And if we have a railway, it would be easy. One easy
transport it.
Yeah,
exactly.
To every corner of this country, you know, to Katima, to the north, you know. Mm.
Yeah. Now we are telling people what Air Namibia. How many our people are using the airport? I mean, Air Namibia. It's really a thing. Sometimes I think our politicians, what I'm saying, they need to come to the ground.
Exactly.
Okay, Mike.
All right, no, thanks for coming through, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. What actually need to change? That's the question. What need to change? You know, something gotta change, man. So what need to change? You can come through as well. 0833-66091, 0833-66091. And we're following a story in today's edition, of the villager. So make sure that you subscribe to the villager, and the villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Yeah, now I do not believe in just complaining without offering a way forward. Okay. So let me share what I think needs to happen based on what the expert, it's not something from my own, it's based on what the expert and the data and the number are telling us. Now, number one, I think one thing that we need to do, let's have less ceremony and more factory floor. So if we have less ceremonies of ribbon cuttings and whatever and launching and all that, and have more factory floors, I think, you know, we need to stop. I think we need to stop confusing trade missions with trade result. Okay? Trade missions is something else. Trade result is another. So signing an agreement is not the same as selling a product. So, and most of the time we celebrate how many agreements that we have signed. And we're not talking how many products that are we selling. We're talking about, if you look at the result that you're given, it shows how many missions that we went, you know, to market Namibia. Yeah. But we're not talking about selling the product. So we need to shift our energy in our budget from ribbon cutting, you know, from ribbon cutting ceremonies that we do to actually building things. That's what we need to do. We need to build factories. Yeah? We need to build manufacturing factories, processing plant factories, cold storage facilities. How many regions? Just the cold storage facilities. Yeah? Fish canneries. Or how do you call those where they, it's fish canneries. You know, fish canneries, diamond cutting and polishing workshops. That is what creates jobs. You don't need scientific study about that. That's what creates jobs. That's what changes the trade picture that we're talking about. That the number tells that it's the same over the years. That's what would change the picture. Start doing all what we need. Start doing, start building things. Eh? We're just talking about it. Eh? Start building. And number two, I think we have seen it in one of, and we have discussed it, and there has been a survey done. The survey says that Namibia is one of the countries that make it difficult for business. So we want Namibian business actually to produce good for export. Now, make it easier to do business at home. You understand? Make it easier. Eh? So we need to make it easier for our business to operate. Eh? And there are a couple of things. Things like reliable electricity. Eh? That means reliable electricity. And right now, right now, we are importing that from South Africa too. Hmm? Right now, we're also importing that from South Africa. That means access to affordable financing. That is something that over the years, businesses are crying about. And nobody seems to listen. Yeah? Our institution, which most of them are South African as well, they are not listening. Financial institution, most of the majority of them are South African, are not listening. They don't understand our context. Yeah? So we need to reduce the red tape that make it hard to start and run a business in Namibia. How many smaller businesses have grown into bigger business in Namibia? Not many. Statistics shows that as well. In 5 years, they are gone. Yeah, something that we talked about here as well. So we cannot expect our entrepreneur to compete on a global stage if they are fighting, if we are fighting actually bureaucratic battles at home. Because that's what we do. We are fighting bureaucratic battles here at home. How do we compete on a global stage? That need honestly to, I mean, so when I mention this, this is not rocket science. It's things that experts say every day, you know. Number three. So one thing that we have to do really is investing in the skills. And that's also not surprising. Eh? Invest in skill, not just in slogans. Because we seem to be just investing in slogans. Eh? So we're talking about here, we're talking about the green hydrogen revolution here. Namibia has incredible, incredible potential in the renewable energy. Eh? And clinical, and the other time we were talking about critical minerals for the energy transitions. So, but we need the skilled workforce. Eh? We need skilled workforce to take advantage of that. How do we take advantage of that? We can have all these things, you know. As I said, we have all this, you know, credible, incredible potential. It will remain a potential when we don't take advantage of that. And how do we take advantage of it? By skilled workforce. That means investing in a technical and vocational education right now. Not next year. Now. Now, because the time now the projects are ready. We're talking about oil, green hydrogen, whatever. When they are ready, we want Namibian ready to work on them. Not watching from the sidelines, no, while the foreigners, experts come in and do the jobs. That's not what we want. But we can only take advantage when we have people that are trained. And that's how you create jobs. Yeah? Maybe some of us needed to become ministers. Sheshi Nembera said, yeah, too early, eh? To the name of party, that one more. Yeah, too early, and this, you know? Yeah, gang, at Natanagan Berokuera, eh? Yeah, at Yakuera and get Piamo studio, you know? So, yeah, so seriously, yeah, jokes around, you know, jokes aside. So, we need to invest in skilled, workforce. We really need to, because otherwise when opportunities are there and we don't have people who can take up those opportunities, what does it help? We can as much as complain that Namibians are not, but we don't have skilled, you know, workforce. So that has to be a priority, a big, big priority. So, and the other thing, it's also, we need to take, we're talking about diversification in the story. So take Africa, continental free trade area, seriously. It doesn't seem to be taken seriously. Two products exported under the continental biggest trade agreement, that simply is simply not good enough. It's simply not good enough. And we talk about any speech you listen to, any minister, African trade, you know, African continental trade, but only two products. I think for me, you know, for me, because sometimes, you know, the even ambassador that we have in these countries are completely useless. Absolutely useless. You know, we need a dedicated, well-funded team whose only job is to identify market opportunities in other African countries. Just to identify, you know, opportunities in those African countries. And believe me, I can do that sitting on the computer here, not even being in that country. We need that dedicated, well-funded team whose only job is to identify market opportunities. So, and then, in the way that help Namibian businesses access those markets. That's the only way. That's the only way. We can get off, if you're really relying on the ambassadors, those are just ceremonial people that we have. And some of them, you know, they don't even understand the word investment. So have a really dedicated, whether now you know, that's what I feel. A well-funded, dedicated, well-funded team of really good negotiators, whatever, you know, all those who understand economy and all that. And their job is just to identify market opportunities in other African countries if we want really to scale up, you know, this advantage, you know, this market, this African market. And then help now our business. You know, I don't know whether NIDPD is that supposed to do that. So it's supposed to do that, but what do we see? So we have this task force that are made. You know, you remember those task force. I don't believe in the task force. A task force that meets once a quarter, you know, it meets once a quarter, a real operational unit like the petroleum unit that has been created, you know, a real operational unit with a measurable target, you know, and accountability. What does a task force doesn't have any accountability. It's a task force. Most of the people that are there are volunteers. Or people that have just appointed to help us to do this. So if we really need to shift, to change the picture, there are just certain things that are simple to understand. What do you think? I want to hear from you. What do you think? Okay. So what do you think? 08333660. What am I talking? Yeah, it's that number. 08333660 91. Okay. I thought I was saying my own number. 08333660 91. So come in, please. Let's share. Let's have the conversation.
If you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha wetekirwa kabona imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshefa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya wo ota ingongoti samweni. Anageshefa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitomwa yoe yongeshefa yoe kupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende kimeneha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa zetu. Moambo dengira selma konaraje takimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni yaji. Eagle FM the eye.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, maybe just run through what we have discussed this morning on this item. Yeah, South Africa remain our dominant trading partner for both imports and export. So this has not changed despite years of diversification talk. You know, there has been diversification talk, government after government. It hasn't changed. That's according to statistics. So I'm just relaying the message from, you know, from what the NSA, put out there. So we imported 4.3 billion from them in February 2026 alone. Mostly consumables. So now, on our export basket, it's still dominated by raw materials, as we see. I mean, it's still dominated by raw material: gold, uranium, diamond, petroleum, and base metal ores. Out of those minerals, only fish break the mineral pattern among our top export. Only fish. This make our economy vulnerable to price shocks, and also it does not create enough jobs because these are capital intensive. This sector is capital intensive. It doesn't create enough jobs. And no wonder why where we are. And if nothing change, and nothing can change. If there's nothing change, come 2030, definitely you're probably worse off than where you are. And when we look at the way we go, what is actually changing? What is that now you say, yeah, okay, inflation has been a little bit down, you know, but think of other things. It's just going up. Up and up and up and up and up. Yeah. The other thing is also, despite signing around, you know, trade agreement and joining the Africa continental free trade area, the result on the ground are minimal, absolutely minimal. Only two products have been exported under Africa continental free trade area. So far, that's only through two products. One was salt, the other one was what? I can't remember what is the other one. You know? So only two product. So political speeches and trade mission have not translated into a real change in our trade patterns. It hasn't. It hasn't at all. Another last one, I will come and talk about it after this.
Imbaya rire onda nai epetawela kwa ombuni kilo ombe ombi hukusha. Njiviro yoye irire ombupu ohatane na wina ikare na masa kumurungu wa indu. Weriwe ongere kusha umune ondengu ukura kwa imba. Una ovi une vya peke kwa ondola mirongo vitatu na hambu ume mumwestao. Tika ovi inki nukukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva. Owa peresende dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva. Owa peresende umurongo kumyeze hambu ume moshimariva. Owa peresende umurongo ivari na dano. Konyeze ya mwana jana izari ino shimarifu. Nituwarelela ondengu, jima yu ungura na wakoze na wina onyangu kife. Ashie shuo imba, ye kupeo shimariva shishu hina omarifiro. Imba, o maoronga neno uyebu haka inina, itako na wina rishangika, jinun.
My friend, why do you...
All right, welcome back. So welcome back. Our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 9. And if you're tuning in, you are tuning in to Unpacking the Day. So we're unpacking a story in today's edition of the Villager. It's the story that actually make the headlines, make actually the front page. Namibia trade picture that refuses to change. That's the story we are unpacking. So yeah, and I was just kind of looking at what we have, looking at some of the things that we have just closing up that discussion by summarizing a few things that we have talked about. The other thing is the solution of the Namibia's higher unemployment, you know, especially youth unemployment, is directly connected to this issue. Directly connected to this issue. Raw material, you know, raw minerals export create few jobs. Okay? It creates few jobs. Value addition in manufacturing, those are the things that create many jobs. And if we want to fix unemployment, we must fix our trade and production structure. That's what we need to fix. Eh? So that's what we need to fix. So the solution exists because the UN, the UNCTAD, you know, has identified a 353 diversification opportunities. This is specifically for Namibia. So Vision 2030 has a clear target. What is missing is execution. We have clear target. And what is missing is, as I said, is execution. Moving from policy document and signing ceremonies to actual factories. Eh? Actual production or actual product that we produce and actual jobs. That's where the crack of the matter is. We need to move now. We need to move from policy documents and signing ceremonies and rhetoric that are going on. We need to see, you know, actual factories, actual product, you know, an actual job. That's what we need to see. Yeah. I want to hear from you as well. I want to hear from you as well. What do you think? So are you surprised by these numbers? Or did you already know this in your gut? You know, we knew this. Many of us knew this, that many of the things that, many of the product that we have are from South Africa. So do you believe our government is doing enough, you know, to diversify our economy? In terms of policy, yes. In terms of policy creation, the regulatory framework, yes, we have done enough. But the problem is execution. When it comes to execution, the statistics says the picture is the same for many years. That's what the statistics says. Numbers don't lie. You can come and, you know, say what and what and what. Numbers don't lie. Okay? So what do you like to see? Eh? What would you like to see change? What change would you like to see? All right? Well, let's keep this conversation going because this is not just about statistics, my friend. It's not just about statistics. This is about our future. Okay, this is about the kind of Namibia we want, Africa we want. Okay? This is about the kind of Namibia we want to build for our children. I'm worried. Okay? Maybe you don't have kids. If you are gone, you are gone. It's only you. I'm worried for my children. You know, what is there for my children? That's what I'm worried about. That's why I'm passionate about this. Okay? So that's why. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
Fine, fine. Yeah, there is also a need for statistical data to be disaggregated and analyzed. And I ask a lot of questions that when you say it is 50%, whatever,
whatever number, whatever figure that you want to plot there.
Yeah, that come from NSA. So those are figures from NSA that we are unpacking.
Yes, whether it's from SNP or whatever. And those ones, they are even good because they are showing you some gaps. So once they are now disaggregated, text disaggregated properly and well interpreted, and now you can then now see how you can transport them to tangible kind of results or action. So because many a times we just say, yes, statistics is fine, it's good. Then what? What's that figure that you are quoting there? So those are some of the questions that may come in, so that you can then see it's good that they are providing good information, the statistic to us in all these sectors. And for us now is the opportunity.
Yeah.
If they say yes, because you are importing more and exporting, so I don't know whether the trade balance there is equilibrium, or maybe, I don't know, the imports must be higher because of a lot of factors. But still, we still have to make sure that now those the gaps that have been identified through the statistical data there, statistics. So
yeah.
How do we then capitalize and or translate them into tangible results?
Exactly.
So because sometimes they don't tell us when you just have it, then you what? That's my my concern.
So when you don't what? I didn't get that. Sorry.
After, when you have the statistic,
yeah,
the figure, 50%, 10%, or whatever the percentage. So now you know the how many women, girls, and boys, or whatever that are affected by that statistic or within that blanket.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'm saying that you still need to make sure that you analyze the financial data and then simplify them and put them, you know, can align them to those development initiatives.
Yeah, I mean, those information are very important because when you do your budget, you know, you do your budget based on how much, you know, on the numbers, you know, and any project that you need to establish in an area, it should be based on evidence based. Yeah. So it's playing a major role. Yeah.
I understand. Many times when you go and visit them or even review their policy or strategic plan. Oh, just they will tell you that, yes, we are catering for everybody.
Yeah.
So development is for everybody. But you discover that, let's say, for example, women might not be well represented or even in those some of those levels.
Yeah.
So there are or even girls and boys. So you still have to go there. I understand. That is the thing. But you need to, even any other person who want to implement an development initiative. So you need to look at it.
Yeah.
Who is mostly affected? And people are affected differently. That's why I tell you that those figures, they need to be analyzed and interpreted from all these perspectives that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So thank you very much.
No, thank you for coming through.
Cool.
All right. All right, I didn't get that really. All right, so, yeah, you're most welcome. What a time, 20 minutes. We still have actually 20 minutes. Do come through if you want to contribute to what we're discussing about. It's one story. We're looking at the story that are actually making the front page on The Villager. All right. Yeah. The other thing, the Bank of Namibia has just dropped its annual report. And the picture it paints, it's not pretty. The picture it paints is not pretty. So our economy slowed down sharply, in 2025. not a gentle dip, like a, just a gentle dip, or not a, not a small correction or something like that. No, a sharp down, a sharp slow down, you know. And the government, and the governor himself is warning that the road ahead, the road ahead is full of uncertainty. That's what the governor said. So, yeah, let's also look at that. Let's look at some of the things that are coming out of their report. So, and always the background help, okay? So that we are all on the same page. I always like to give you the background so that we are on the same. Maybe you never get even a chance to read the report, which is not, which in most cases you wouldn't. All right. So this week, the Bank of Namibia released its latest annual report. The governor presented the finding, and the core message is this: Namibia economy lost a serious momentum in 2025. All right. That's a core message from the report. The real GDP growth, which is the broadest measure of our economic health, you know, crashed from 38%. From 38% in 2024 down to just 1.7% in 2025. You see that? 3.8% in 2024 down to just 1.7% in 2025. So that's more than half of our growth rate in a single year. In a single year. Now, so we were growing at nearly 4%, and now we are barely above 1.5%. So what is going on? The central bank is pointing out two big forces driving this. One is global and one is domestic. So on the global side, trade dispute and geopolitical conflict, you know, are the one that are creating uncertainty. So, and on the domestic side, you know, the key sector like agriculture and mining simply underperformed. So they underperformed. Yeah. And because they underperformed, now that's one of the contributing factor. So now, I'm gonna let's we still have enough time. So let's walk through both, okay? Starting with the bigger picture. Now, we need to look at the world around us, okay? So, and many, even if from the foreign ministers are telling you, the world around us are affecting us. It's affecting us. The global economy actually held a steady at 3.3% growth in 2025, the world, now the global economy, and the same pace as 2024. You know, things like technology investment, support government policies, and the resilient private sector kept the world economy moving. Those are the areas that kept the world economy moving. But, and this is a big but, the governor warned that pressures are building underneath the surface. Global growth is projected to get down to 3.2% by 2027. So, and that, when you look, you know, it's just like a one fraction. That means sounds like a small drop. Okay? It sounds like a small drop, but the world of macroeconomics, when you think of the world of macroeconomics, even a tenth of a percentage point, it matters. It matters when you are talking about trillions of dollars, you know? So here you're talking about trillions of dollars. So that drop, it does matter. And the risk are stocking up. The risk are stocking up trade wars. As we see, trade wars are disrupting supply chains. That's what's happening not only in Middle East. You know, there could be other issues between Vietnam. What is it? Not Vietnam. What is the China's and what is the other? Getting old. Yeah. So geopolitical conflicts, okay, the geopolitical conflicts, and we all know which ones are pushing up cost. So we all know that. So, yeah, there are also issue of government debt around the world. Is this year or last year, what is it? Historically, it's at historically higher levels, which could mean now higher interest rates and definitely now the financial institution would then make it tighter. And they would have now, they put up tighter financial condition, which would then affect, you know, country like Namibia. So in a simple terms, you know, borrowing becomes more expensive. It becoming more expensive, spending slowed down, and business become more cautious. So what happens in the global economy eventually affect Namibia too, affect us as well. So when we look at how Namibia has been really done compared to now, from 20, if you look at some indicator, you know, Namibia GDP growth in 2024 is 3.8%, and it just went down to 1.7. You know, that, so Namibia headline inflation in 2024 is 4.2%, and it went down 3.5%. So the global economic growth, it stayed the same, you know, from last year. And the global inflation is actually went down 5.8 in 2024, 4.1 in 2025. So now, if we bring this home, what does that growth crash? This growth crash from 3.8% to 1.7% actually mean for you and me, you know? It means that the economy is barely breathing. It's barely breathing. Jobs are not being created at the pace we need. Government revenue is under pressure, you know, and that's what the minister says, and what also the president mentioned in Esona. And the sector that normally drive our economy are struggling. Well, except the uranium and gold. Okay? Now, let's look at sector by sector. Okay? Maybe that would help us. The primary industries, agriculture. The primary interest like agriculture, it took a hit because of restocking activities. Now, if you are a farmer listening to this, you know exactly what that means. You know? After a good season, farmer hold back livestock. And I think Tate Walenga mentions that yesterday. You know, farmer hold back livestock to rebuild their health instead of sending them, you know, to market. Now, that is a smart for a long-term sustainability. But in the short term, it actually pulled down the numbers. So in the long term, it's actually, I think that's a smart. It is a smart way for sustainability, but in the short terms, it's actually pulled down the numbers. So, now mining, our traditional powerhouse, okay, was dragged down by weaker global demand for diamonds. So, when the world buys fewer diamonds, Namibia feels the pain. We feel the pain. We directly plugged into that global demand chain. And right now, the chain is actually, you know, is sagging. Yeah? So, now, the secondary sector, which includes manufacturing, also contracted. Metal production, meat processing, and diamond processing all declined. They all declined in 2025. And these are the industry that employ those now, like metal production, manufacturing and metal production, meat processing and diamond processing. These are the industries that employ thousands of Namibians. And when they shrink, you can also imagine that the livelihood of people are affected. They are affected. But there is also a bright spot. There is one bright spot in this sector, which was actually construction, along with electricity and water supply, so which helped cushion actually the blow. This sector helped actually to cushion the blow. So if you are in a construction, you know, you may have felt actually some stability with others where they're struggling while others were struggling. Now, but here is the silver lining. Okay, the service sector, which is our largest employer, okay, it held steady. It was steady. This we're talking about wholesalers and retail trade, transport, communications, and public services all recorded growth. All that recorded, they recorded a good level of growth. So, tourism, for example. So where is that I'm looking at? Yeah, tourism, finance, health, hospitality, they performed well too. These also performed well too. And while the mining and manufacturing were pulling the economy down, service were holding the line. I think they were holding the line, as we can see. So that tells you something important about changing shape of our economy, okay? So we are becoming less reliant on the raw minerals and more driven by service. So whether that is a good thing or a risk, you know, maybe a good thing or a risk things, well, it's a debate for another day, all right? That's a debate for another day. Now, let us talk about what matters most to you, okay, at the end of the month. Prices, that's what matter to you. That's what matter to me. I don't care what other things. Prices. So the good news is that the headline inflation in Namibia eased to 3.5% in 2025, down from 4.2% the year before. So that was the good news. That was largely driven by lower transport cost. You remember when, you know, the fuel also goes down, was also decreased, and thanks to declining oil prices, that actually took place, and a strong Namibian dollar. No, that's going to change. That has changed. You know, the global inflation followed a similar trend, you know, dropping from 5.8% in 2024 to 4.1% in 2025, also mainly because of energy prices came down. So you can see that how actually that influences our economy activities. So, but before you celebrate, okay? Before we celebrate to listen, so listen to this. Now, food inflation stood at 5.2%. That means even with a good harvest, the price of food is still actually rising faster than the overall inflation. And food is at what is what takes up the biggest chunk of Namibian host, what takes up our as a household budget. It's what takes up actually much of your budget. Yes. Last year, I think filling up your car may have been actually slightly cheaper, and that has changed completely. But definitely filling up your grocery trolley at that time was still painful, and that has become even worse as we speak. So, and that is the paradox the central bank is actually grappling with. The headline, you know, the headline number looks better, but the lived experience, when you're looking at the headline number, it looks better. But the lived experience tells a different story. It tells a different story. And that's something that I was talking about yesterday as well. I said, we're talking about the growth, you know. And in some way, we're saying, hey, we are rich, eh? Isn't it? So we're saying we are rich, but that richness that we're talking about is not translated into our pocket. Huh? It's not translated into our pocket. Yeah. And the other thing is about, we're talking about the connection. Just previously, we were talking about our dependence on South Africa, you know. Yeah. And the report, in this report, it came out as well, you know. So, yeah, it came out. What the Bank of Namibia looked at what would happen if South Africa changed its inflation target, for example. So Namibia is part of the common monetary area. We are tied to rent. What happened in South Africa does not stay in South Africa. What happened in South Africa doesn't stay in South Africa. It crosses the border and it lands into our wallet. You know, it does land into our wallet. A central bank analysis suggests that a lower inflation target, you know, in South Africa could eventually lead to a lower inflation and lower interest rate in Namibia. That sounds great. But there's a catch. There's a catch. In a short term, it could actually slightly constrain our economic growth. Yeah? Think of it like tightening your belt, a notch, just to fit into a better clothes later. You know? So the governor also stresses the importance of a clear communication from the central bank to manage public expectation, because that's very important. So in other words, if people do not understand why things are happening, they panic. Yeah? We panic. And panic is worse than the actual problems. So does the Bank of Namibia communicate well? Now, if you can ask, do they communicate well enough with ordinary citizens? They don't. Well, I will leave the question, you know, hanging for you to think about, because that's something that I say. Yeah. Now, what's the time? So here's my reading for this, okay? My reading on this. After years of watching this report come and go, first, we need to be honest with ourselves. A growth rate of 1.7% in a country with our level of unemployment and inequality is not just a slowdown. Really, it's not just a slowdown. It's a warning sign, seriously. For me, it's a warning sign. We are not creating enough opportunity for our young people. We are not growing fast enough to reduce poverty at the pace we need. Eh? And relying on a global diamond demand to save us I think it's a strategy that has this expiry date, as we see. It has expiry date. If we're relying on that. Second, the fact that services are now the backbone of our economy, I think is significant. I think it's significant, but service sector jobs often pay less. Eh? Jobs in the service sector, it pays less and offer less security than actually mining and or manufacturing jobs. So the quality of growth matter just as much as the quantity. Eh? Are we creating better jobs or just more low-wage kind of jobs? And that's a question of our policymakers that need to answer. That's the question our policymakers need to answer. And this one is very important, I think. Food inflation at 5.2% in an economy that is barely growing. In an economy that is barely growing means that the poorest Namibian, they are the one who are, you know, who are getting squeezed the hardest, really. You know, the people who spend the largest share of their income on food are the one actually feeling the most pain. Yeah? And no amount of, you know, no amount of a positive spin about, you know, easing headline inflation can change actually that reality. There's not, no amount of that that can change that. And I want to put this to you. Are we doing enough to diversify, as we are talking about the first story that we are following? Are we doing enough really to diversify our economy beyond the diamonds and minerals? Is government doing enough to support the sector that are actually growing, like tourism? And we're talking about service now and services. Are we doing enough? Because that's where also employment is. And most, maybe most importantly, do you feel the impact of this slowdown in your daily life? Do you feel that? Or is it just talk from Windhoek that never really reaches your doorstep? Maybe it's just a talk. It doesn't really reach your doorstep. Eh? Yeah, just quickly, just to round up, before I hand over to Tate France, is that the Namibia's GDP, and this is from the Central Bank, that Namibia's GDP growth crashed from 3.8% in 2024 to just 1.7% in 2025. So that's actually a sharp slowdown driven by weakness in agriculture and mining. So that's what they're citing is the driving force. Now, the global economic condition remain actually a threat. Trade tensions, as we see, geopolitical conflict, and then higher unemployment debt in the world. That means that could push the world into now a slower growth phase, and Namibia would definitely not be spared from that. So, and you're talking about also the headline inflation is to 3.5%, which offering some relief in the way, but food inflation at 5.2% means that the cost of living is actually biting hard for ordinary Namibians. So that it doesn't really make much of a difference. Now, the service sector is now our economic anchor, according to the report, growing steadily, while mining and manufacturing actually declining. So this shift has really big, I think, have big implication for the type of job that are available. So it's not of quality, you know. It doesn't pay more. Yeah. Now, the other things they mentioned is that changes to South Africa's inflation policy could actually affect our interest rate and also our growth. So reminding us that our economic fate is partially tied to the decision, I think, made in Pretoria. Well, that's all for this morning. That's all for this morning on Unpacking the Day. So I'm going to leave you in the hands of Tate France coming up with Kuthamosha. And I wish you a very good weekend. Don't do what I wouldn't do. And if you do, well, make sure that you name it after me. Well, all well, everything. I wish you all the best for today. And then, well, goodbye. Until tomorrow from 11 to 1 o'clock when we talk matters that has to do with you. So make sure that you tune in tomorrow at 11 to 1 o'clock, bringing you Mind Matters. From me, Michael Chevelli, all well, cheerio. Bye.